You're listening to Nowhere to Run with Chris White on the Revelations Radio Network. Hey everybody, welcome to a special edition of Nowhere to Run. This is going to be an interview with Mario Brisson, otherwise known as the Vigilant Christian on YouTube and Facebook. And I think that you'll really enjoy his testimony of coming out of the New Age, especially if any of you also have come out of the New Age or are interested in that for any other reason. I think you'll find his testimony one of great encouragement and hope. And so without any further ado, let's present Mario Brisson, the Vigilant Christian, and his excellent testimony.
My name is Mario, and I'm online as the Vigilant Christian and started the online ministry about a year ago. And I've always set out to do something like this. Previously, well, as you're going to hear, I'm going to talk about I was in the truth movement. So I've always been kind of wanting to get the truth out there and wake people up. And somewhere along the line, I came out of the New Age movement, became a born-again Christian, and now I'm trying to preach the gospel to as many people as we can and just bring people to the truth. Being a seeker, that's been my goal in life, to truly know the truth and to seek it out. And that's what you're going to hear in my story here today. And I do all sorts of different work. I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff, exposing the New Age movement, talking about my different testimonies on my channel and the different things that I went through. And so definitely go and check that out. And so very excited.
Yeah. We'll put links to all of the various places and stuff in the show notes of this show. And we'll also mention that at the end of the talk here. So why don't you go ahead and get started and tell us about your testimony?
Perfect. The thing where I want to start in my testimony is obviously growing up. I'm a French Canadian, and I grew up in a Catholic home, and I think that that's significant to point out in telling you my testimony, just because that's kind of like the taste that I had of Christ in the very beginning of my life. I would go to church, and you get this kind of weird feeling. There's a weird vibe in the Catholic Church here, and I just kind of associated that to Christianity, to the Bible, at a very young age. I was very turned off, and later in life, I started to rebel, and started to ask some very deep questions in life. I didn't want to follow authority, and I didn't know why things were the way they were, and this pushed me to truly ask some very deep questions. And this is probably in my teen years where I started to ask, who am I and what am I doing? And a significant event for me was actually September 11th and everything that went on there. So that kind of opened me up to the truth movement. And that's really where I started, because I was starting to ask, all these deep questions, and here's this movement, it's about the truth. So we're discovering some things. So I definitely got all into that. And because of that, there was a lot of New Age movement things that I was discovering through that. And this was happening simultaneously in my life at a time where I was experiencing depression, anxiety, and a lot of hard emotional and physiological and psychological problems. So, looking at these New Age things, I was like, well, this can bring me healing, and this can, give me understanding as to what's going on. So I started to really kind of look into the New Age, and, like I said, I was having all these problems with my body. So I came across some information about the Dark Night of the Soul, and I was able to really relate to that material, because I was actually being tormented. It was like an absolute spiritual hell. And this is really what propelled me into the New Age movement and the different practices. I viewed the practices and things. I would go to, get light work done and chakra healing and balancing and, all those practices to try and heal what was going on. And it was like I would do one therapy and then, everything would be fine and my energy would be balanced, quote unquote. And then it would put something else would get off balance. And, I'd be forced into even more deeper understanding of, Reiki or meditation or, this whole idea of transforming my consciousness. So it was really related to like a physical experience too. So You know, I even wanted at this point to become a yoga instructor, signed up to become a yoga instructor, so studying the Bhagavad Gita and really getting into Eastern mysticism and philosophy, heavy into tarot and astrology, and just, you know, all the gurus and the New Age teachers, you know, the Deepak Chopras and the Eckhart Tolles, reading The Power of Now, and, you know, I was just really, really heavy into this stuff. I, you know, found myself experiencing an awakening, a big transformation, you know, and it was what I believed to be a rebirth at the time. And it was just, you know, at the time I thought, well, this is it. This is what I'd been searching for, because I'd always been a seeker. And this is probably 3 or 4 years into it. I really wanted to take it to the next level. And at this point, this is when I had read a lot of material about, you know, spirit guides, the ascended masters, and, you know, the channeled information and people who are being used as channels. And I was like, you know, that's where I want to go. I want to, you know, if there's a being who can, who's at a different dimension and understands, you know, higher wisdom and knowledge, and it can communicate that to me, then I definitely want to be part of that. And, you know, I had read that psychedelic drugs could be used in a way to open yourself up to that experience. So that's what I went. And I do want to clarify here, this isn't like drug use, like at a party or anything. This isn't like recreational drug use. This was shamanistic, using psychedelics to open myself up to have that communication with that spirit being. So that's truly what I did. And the first time I did make contact, I did it. And one of the beings that appeared to me came to me as Archangel Michael. And if you're familiar with me or Chris talking about these issues, you know, demons can masquerade themselves as angels of light. So that's the form that this being took to come and to deceive me. You know, it came to me as Archangel Michael, and, you know, it told me about, okay, there's 2012 coming, and there's a big shift in consciousness, and that's what you experience is this God realization, and that's what all of humanity has to come to. And at the age of Aquarius, we're all going to transcend. And all this information that, if you really look in the New Age movement and the Truth movement, you know, you have people like David Icke and David Wilcock being channeled. They're channeling that same information. So, you know, I was being told the same things. And to clarify, you know, when you communicate with these beings, this isn't like normal communication. There's different ways that I would communicate with them, which would be, you know, clairaudience, which is the ability to hear them, or claircognizance, which is just that deeper knowing, and you know, clairsentience, which is feelings. And there's different ways. And I would do this through the tarot cards. And that was another powerful way to communicate with the spirits and have them, you know, communicate what it is I would go to study next, because as they're leading you, they're synchronistically through like these crazy spiritual supernatural experiences, bringing you to what book to go to, what person to talk to, and you know, you're being supernaturally led by these beings. So it's a very, very powerful experience. So that's basically what I was going through. And these beings, I do want to clarify, you know, they really deceived me. They were beautiful in the very beginning. They came to me with all this wisdom about, you know, this, now I recognize it's New Age and occult wisdom, but, you know, it seemed so appealing, and, you know, it was so wise, and they were so beautiful, and they were there to help me heal and understand myself and all this stuff. So, you know, I never even thought of the idea that they would lie to me or that they would be deceiving me until a bit later. And this is when I actually stumbled across a YouTube documentary called The Age of Aquarius, The Age of Evil, which Chris White is actually featured in. So I definitely recommend anyone to check it out here on YouTube. It's definitely eye-opening. And that's the significant point where all of a sudden I start asking myself something that I've never asked before, you know, could these beings actually be lying to me? And, you know, to find out that all my beliefs were really rooted in New Age and theosophical beliefs, and that they're at their root Luciferian, that really opened me up to, okay, wait a minute, I could be deceived here. You know, these could be fallen angels. And once I started to have that realization, that was very scary, actually. For the next 3 weeks after I saw the DVD, I went through a huge demonic attack, because at this point now I'm asking my spirit guides, who've been been there for me. You know, I got 30 of them at this point. I'm communicating with them, and they're helping me in my life, and they're helping me evolve through different levels of consciousness and all this crazy stuff. And, you know, and then I'm asking them, guys, like, is this for real? Like, who's Jesus Christ? Because at that point in my journey, Jesus Christ was just an ascended master. He was just an avatar. You know, he was just like the other Buddha. And he was, you know, we're all trying to achieve that Christ consciousness. But then I'm starting to look at Jesus Christ is presented in the Gospels, and I'm seeing a different Jesus here. And when I presented that to my spirit beings, they weren't happy with that at all. What were beautiful angelic beings turned very demonic and very vicious, and I experienced some demonic attacks. I'd be laying in bed, and I'd get sleep paralysis because I couldn't move. They were just on top of me. It felt like I was being choked out. This happened a couple times, and other times I'd be just hanging out, you know, after a workout, making a protein shake, and I would see, because I did a lot of third eye meditation, so I'd have a very vivid ability to have visions. I'd see in my third eye this little gremlin-looking thing crawl up my leg and shove my face in the blender and be like, "Satan owns you. You're never gonna go. He owns your soul." And you know, I'm just sitting there making a shake here, so that's pretty freaky. So at this point, I'm going, you know, What did I get myself into? What have I opened up? You know, I'm really crying out to God. I remember I got on my face and knees and I cried out to him and I said, you know, you have to help me. This has gone too far. The torment was too much. You know, I had this overwhelming sense and feeling that, you know, I had I had went into a place I shouldn't be anymore. And it was very important that I come back home, and I had to get away from this. So probably 2 weeks after all this was going on, I went to a local church. There was a charismatic preacher there. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and talked about the cross and how Jesus died for my sins. And it was at that moment, I remember, you know, all those years of seeking and everything that I'd been through, it was just, that was it. You know, there was no more seeking anymore, and I had just found it, and I had found it in Jesus Christ. And when he says that he is the only way, that truth was revealed to me then through the Holy Spirit, and it was just, that was it. I was born again by God's Spirit, you know, and I just knew. I knew at that moment, that's it. This is what I've been looking for. I couldn't find it in Eastern religions. None of these spirit guides could teach it to me. No meditation, no crystal, none of that stuff could truly give me what I had found that day. So I accepted Jesus Christ, and awesome thing is, after they had a prayer line, and you know, when you open yourself up to these spirits like this, they're not going to want to let you go very easily. And I experienced a battle right there. I went up to a prayer line, and a girl comes up to me, and she just basically looks at me, and she goes, "You've been into Buddhism. You've been talking to spirit guides." And I didn't even know this girl at all. So, you know, right then and there, I'm going, okay, well, if she knows that right there, okay, well, you know, this is something God wants to do. And she's like, I need to pray for you. So she starts to pray over me, and instantly I just manifest. This force just comes in, and I felt like I could have just grabbed her and pushed her like 20 feet. That's how strong I felt, but there was something blocking me, and my eyes were rolling in and out of my head, and one part of me was calling out to Jesus to come, and then one other part would come and say, "I'm not letting him go," in this very demonic, weird voice. And, you know, this was going on, and people were praying for me, and after it just came out. You know, it came out of me, and I remember I was just crying, and it was just a powerful experience, and I just started following God from that moment on. So, you know, that was just because when we open I did the channelings. You know, I opened myself up, and I allowed the spirits you know, auto-write through me and stuff like that. And I just remember the feeling of them not actually being in my body, and this was a huge thing because it just felt like I was clean. You know, I remember this feeling when the Holy Spirit was there that, you know, I had allowed these beings to work through me, and it was just, it wasn't right. It just, that was not their habitat. They were not supposed to be there. And then now God was dwelling in me, and his spirit indwells me. And I just remember that being an awesome, awesome feeling. So, and then since then, things have been awesome. Jesus Christ is, like I said, what I've been looking for. I got baptized on December 21st, 2012. That was actually something significant for me. I believe that day. I was like, you know what? Like I used to tell people, December 21st, 2012, it has to happen. We have to evolve or else, this isn't going to happen. And, we had all of our beliefs on, oh, the poles are going to shift and all of our different reasons. And, and to be saved, I was saved in January 2010. And then, it took a little long to get baptized, but, it just fell perfect that day. That's it. There was no transformation of consciousness. There was no big event. So we can kind of see the channeled information that I was receiving and other people were receiving is false, and that just goes to show you that that's what it is. This information that you're receiving through this spiritual realm that way, it needs to be tested. We need to test everything, and that's just false information. So I got baptized on that day, and that's the true transformation of consciousness to me. You're looking for the mind of God. Well, that comes in and operates in you through the Holy Spirit, and you want to ascend. That doesn't happen other than when Jesus Christ comes at the resurrection. It's all counterfeit spirituality, and it's appealing, and they just have a way of deceiving people. So I hope this testimony helps people. I hope you come to Jesus Christ to get to know him. If you're looking into these things, it's because you're seeking. There's a part of you that is spiritually void and is looking to fill that. And those who come to him will never thirst again. And they're going to find that spiritual fulfillment. And there's only one place to find it, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen. Wow, that's a great testimony. I want to just ask a few questions and back up a little bit on some of those issues.
Sure.
And then maybe talk about some your journey after that and mm-hmm. the sanctification process and how that worked in your life, because I know it's always a rocky road for everyone. But let's back up and talk about some of the things you mentioned. The one thing that's interesting, when people are starting to dabble in things like the healing or Reiki or whatever it may be, there seems to be, as you mentioned, a lot of synchronicities that happen, a lot of these sort of things that seem to confirm that it's true. How do you view that as physically happening? I mean, can you maybe just talk about how it is that they're deceiving people and confirming things and stuff like that? I mean, is it just demons communicating with one another, or how do you view that happening? And maybe give an example or two.
The exact science behind it, I don't think we could exactly know. I do know for me, it happened. A lot seemed to happen when, because they want to invite you in. There has to be, you have to give over your free will, and you have to open yourself up. And when you're doing things like chakra, like balancing, that's what you're essentially doing. You're opening up your energy centers, and you're opening up to communicating with them through that, because every energy center has a certain thing to it. So, that could be that, that's the particular demon that you open yourself up to, and then that'll lead you in your life. So as this, I don't really know, Chris, like the exact science. I do know it's definitely demonic, I do know that you have to give yourself up to that. You have to open yourself up and ask them to, help you. I know
right.
a lot of the light therapy, Reiki sessions that I did, my practitioner would even talk about the spirits that were helping her through it. So the spirits were giving her the quote unquote chi life force, and she was channeling that from them into me. So,
right.
Well, I was open and accepting that.
Yeah, right? And that's a good point, is that it seems like a lot of the practices, whatever they are, kind of boil down to the same thing, which is to get the person either mentally or to verbally invite or mm-hmm. open up to them in their heart level kind of thing. Like, I want to be influenced by, in some way, by these beings. And I think that's really the core of it, is trying to convince people to open up their heart to being influenced by these spirits, whether they know what they are or not.
That's right. And I mean, if you just look at the tarot card, that's the whole purpose of getting a tarot card. It's saying, I want to be guided and taught and shown things through these cards. Now, people don't realize there's principalities and powers and spirits associated to every single card, and you're opening it up, but that's what you're doing. You're just saying, okay, you instruct me, you guide me, and then you're opening that up, that realm for that spirit to guide you, to play around with you, because you've asked them to at that point.
One of the things that you mentioned about the sort of the peace that you felt after being saved, and the sort of feeling of, you know, that's what you had been looking for as a seeker, that kind of freedom, and really filling the gap of whatever it is that we're seeking, whether we call it the truth or whatnot. But I guess my question would be, can you really draw a comparison to what the New Age promises and what Jesus gives? I mean, in terms of, I mean, can you get inside the mind of a New Ager to what is it really that they're seeking, if they're genuinely on the path of trying to figure it out, and how exactly is that fulfilled in Christ?
Right. I think for the New Ager, really, it's just, you know, I think for everyone, we can recognize and feel that internally there's just something missing. And then, you know, the New Ager won't call it sin. They'll, you know, I don't know what reason, you know, it's, well, there's an imbalance. There's, you know, global consciousness isn't at a certain level, you know, so they don't really call it sin, but they're still seeking to fulfill that, you know, so they're doing it in the wrong ways. And, you know, that's what I was doing. And, you know, to fill the thirst for righteousness, for wisdom, for truth, and all these things, you're looking into things that are false. So, you know, there is the feeling, although when you're doing those things, because the enemy is a deceiver, and those things are very deceptive, you do feel like, oh, this is the truth, you know, and I had a quote unquote born again experience as a New Ager. I became born again. I had an awakening, as we call it in the New Age, and things like that. But these are all counterfeits. And when I had the real thing in Christ, I was able to look and just be like, you know, you just know. It's very hard to give you an explanation, but it's just a really strong knowing that this is the real thing, and you truly are fulfilled, and you will produce spiritual fruit. It's really where the fruit of your life that you can look at that will really show you that you're on the right path. Whereas, you know, the fruit that I produced when I was into New Age ideas and stuff wasn't like it is as in my walk with Christ. So, you know, the New Age promises and has a lot of the same things, but they're not it. And when I, like I said, when I came to Jesus, that was just it. It's just you know, and you experience it like you're truly born again, and I truly know the old man and the new spiritual man that's born through the Spirit of God, and you really see it. It's a real experience, and it's just, yeah, I just know.
Very good, very good. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, you know, sometimes it can be a really difficult journey for people that are coming out of the New Age and the occult, especially if they have gone down a road that's really kind of, you know, opened them up, and they have sort of, you know, scar tissue, as it were, when they're in their life.
Yeah.
And so that's a difficult road. Can you maybe talk about your process of sanctification and how, you know, it's uh-huh. a never-ending process that we're all still going through, but
right.
How did you get through the first, you know, year or whatnot, and how
right.
and what encouraged you and do and helped you to learn?
Right. Well, I think for me, I like that question. You know, it was a bit different, and it will be a bit different for people listening that, you know, come from a New Age background, that are coming into a life in Jesus Christ, that it's going to be a little difficult. There's an adjustment phase, really. I mean, for the first year, it's like, I was still kind of into the New Age thought. I really was still learning to separate, you know. I still had my astrology book for like 6 months, and, you know, I still had certain things that in the process of sanctification, the Holy Spirit will then show you and lead you into the truth that, okay, I got to get rid of this. This doesn't go in my new life with Christ. And, you know, you'll start to identify things that are kind of still New Age that will linger, because it's not like the day you get saved, you walk into some machine and you come out, you know, this perfectly righteous person. There's a process. And another dynamic of this that's unique, I think, for the New Ager coming to Christ is that you've opened yourself up to the spiritual realm. A lot of times, even my brothers and sisters in Christ and church can't really relate to spiritual things and experiences like someone who's been in those. So you're going to have, for me, there was a lot more attacks, I think. It opened up a lot more doors. So there's a level of spiritual warfare that's going to be a little bit more elevated in especially the beginning of your walk, just because you've opened up things that you're going to maybe have to go back and start closing those doors, you know. And like I said, it'll happen in a process. You might have doors open that you don't even know should be open for a while, and that will hurt you. But it's worth it. And
right, let's pause there for a minute, because I know so many people that, you know, that they're coming out of this and you know, they may have never even had a, let's say, sleep paralysis attack, you know, but as soon as they are saved, they get you know, a heavy attack right at first, or really depending on the, you know, they have to deal with, you know, difficult stuff. And I think sometimes at first they're feeling I don't know how to say guilty or something about having to deal with it, when you know, I think that there is a mechanics issue to it. I think that there, it's just like a person I've said before that maybe was a severe alcoholic and drank a bottle of Jack Daniels a day. When that person gets saved, the Lord might take away the complete desire for alcohol or what have you, but there still is going to be some liver damage that the Lord can help you with, you know, and whatnot. But I think that, that we, if we're in the new age and we're opening up doors, those doors are, you know, we still have some damage there that they still have a bit of access to. We're not talking about possession, we're not talking about anything like that, but there's just, they have more access to do stuff. Now we have authority in Christ, and I think that's why the Lord has given us authority, is that he knew that Satan would attack. Luke 10:19-20 says that he's given us authority over snakes and scorpions, so that nothing shall by any means harm us, and that rejoice not in this, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather that your names are written in heaven. So he's given us this authority for the spirits to be subject unto us, and I think that he does that because he knows that Satan's going to try. So how is it? And I'm not looking for a turnkey solution here, because, but on that journey of dealing with the spiritual attacks that come afterwards, how have you found to begin to close those doors? And what is there a process that you found that to be helpful that others might benefit from?
Yeah, for sure. It definitely happened to me. The doors were wide open. I mean, that's basically when I was before Christ, I was just, you know, every door, window open, come on in, guys, you know, like any spirit, let's go. So, you know, when it came time to kick him out and to shut those doors, there was definitely a battle. It can seem like, you know, a bad thing, but all things work out for the good of for those who love God and are called to, according to his purposes. So if you truly do love God and you're going to walk this thing out, it's actually a good opportunity for you. I learned a lot of spiritual warfare in my very beginning, that I think that had I not been in those situations, had I not had to fight those spiritual fights and learn my authority in Christ, learn prayer and seek out knowledge and understanding on spiritual warfare and things like that, you know, I wouldn't be as strong as I am today. So I think, you know, if you are going through it, and you probably are, if you do have that new age background, you know, rejoice and fight the good fight, and know that the power that's now in you is much stronger than anything that's out there. And you're going to learn to become a warrior. And there's really truly nothing to fear. I mean, when the Holy Spirit lives in you, the authority, like Chris said, you know, we have the authority to trample over them. So there's really nothing to fear. So I still go through battles. There's times, and I invite them in a sense. You know, it's not like I'm opening up doors in my life to let them in, but if they come, see them as opportunity to grow. That's really, because you're going to have to, because it's going to come if you open those doors.
Right. And I often encourage people that are that are in that position, that they are in a sense luckier than most people, because they have an opportunity to really need the Lord to trust him more than your average new Christian does.
That's
and so they it's like being born in a place where you're persecuted a lot, or you know, you're under the threat of death for going to church.
Right.
That person's going to be a much further along Christian than the person who doesn't really have any external worries. And so they often tend to be very further along Christians pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we come to, you know, right now you're doing great Bible studies and a lot of things for people. You were mentioning before the broadcast about starting to do some stuff with church and all this stuff. So you're at this place where you have grown relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Can you maybe give some people some tips about how that process happened in your growing in the Word and in doctrine and those kinds of things?
Okay. Well, saved in January of 2010, so we're on year three in Christ. I've done some great things, but you know, you really have to know that it's a process. I've had a lot of times where I've failed, and you know, there's old sins that'll creep back in, and then you know, you get the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It shows you those areas, and you try and work those areas. And you know, when you get past the big hurdles, then the Holy Spirit shines on the medium hurdles, and then you start working on those. And then when the mediums get out of the way, it'll go to I don't think it'll ever stop. I think it's gonna, and who would really want it to stop? You know, we constantly want to be recreated in the image of God, and I think that, you know, I came from a place, I was pretty far from, you know, being anything that was good or righteous. And, you know, I think that for me, when God saved me, that was a big thing for me too, was, you know, like feeling his grace and mercy, that the sacrifice on the cross, that no matter what I did in my life, I was forgiven. So I truly felt God's love. And there's times I know I disappoint him, but, you know, if you just keep seeking him, you keep seeking forgiveness, and he's faithful. He's brought me through a lot of things and weeded out a lot of things in my life, a lot of drug habits and alcohol and partying and all these, you know, activities of the world that, you know, just consumed my life before. And it's just being replaced with new desires. You know, you truly, when you go through this experience, you do have the new heart. You see that the things that I used to love, I don't love anymore. And the things that I didn't care about before or couldn't care about, I'm actually caring about now. It's a process. You know, it's one of the comments I get a lot from viewers and people. You know, they feel that because they're dealing with a certain sin, that God won't love them or forgive them, and you know, they feel like they're going to hell. And you know, I think the enemy plays a lot on that. And you know, you just got to just keep seeking God. You know, keep having a heart for God. And you're not perfect, and it's not our righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed on us. And you know, you're gonna obey because you're gonna love God, and you're gonna know what he did for you, and start walking more and more in holiness. But it's definitely a process, and even more so coming from the new age. It's just, you know, he's purifying you. He's putting you through the fire to, you know, make you as pure as gold and white as snow. But it's definitely a process, and it's a good one. You know, it's truly, because even in the new age, that's what you're doing. It's a process of trying to achieve a state of consciousness. You know, it just shows that humanity is constantly, we know there's something missing, you know, and God will bring you to the real place through the refinement and developing the character of Christ in you, which is the holy and righteous one. And, you know, he'll do that. But yeah, it's an awesome process.
Right, so let's go into maybe discussing the ministry stuff that you're doing.
Yep.
With the Vigilant Christian, the YouTube and the Facebook, and anything else, and just kind of give us an idea of what you're wanting to achieve with it and some of the future ideas or projects you might have with that ministry.
Right. So Vigilant Christian Ministry basically came from, you know, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So it was just a recognition that, you know, I was in the truth movement. So, you know, I kind of have that kind of aspect to the channel where, you know, we see that the New World Order system is being set up. The New Age movement is going to be the religion of that system. So, you know, it's to really to wake up the church, to recognize that, you know, these things are happening in the world. And at the same time, you know, giving them the answer. I've talked about this in other videos that the one thing about the truth movement is they don't have the truth. You know, the truth is Jesus Christ, and the majority of truth movement or teachers don't have it. So I want to be a voice in that movement for Jesus Christ, and to point all the people that are looking at the things in the world and why they're occurring, to make them recognize that it's all biblical prophecy. This is the end times. You know, Christ talked about these times and the very things that are happening. We can go to the Bible and show that, you know, this was talked about, that it was going to occur. So it's recognizing that. Also, I really focus on the music industry. I used to be a hip hop break dancer back in high school, so I've seen the hip hop culture and the effects of that. So there's a very satanic influence now that we find in the entertainment industry that maybe 5-10 years ago wasn't so predominant. So I'm talking about those things. We're seeing that these elite groups are influencing the masses through these artists and stuff to really, it's all about drugs, sex, and rock and roll and all those things, right? So it's the lifestyle of the beast. So I'm bringing light to that and exposing that, and glorifying God. And I'm just going to keep moving forward with it, and just as God leads me to expose the New Age movement, the New World Order, glorify Jesus Christ, and share work with share good other people's work, like yourself, Chris, and other people that I've featured on my channel, to as many people, because this is truly the truth that needs to be heard, and people are hungry for it. So I'm just happy to play a role, and it's awesome to be doing this interview with you, man. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, so it's a super blessing.
Yeah, me too. And let's give people some contact information, and I know we have a few different ways for them to contact you, and what kind of things they, how they can kind of hear what's going on with you, and if they can contact you for any kind of personal reasons or anything.
Yeah, for sure. You can go like me on Facebook, The Vigilant Christian, www.facebook.com/TheVigilantChristianMario. Go ahead and like the page, or add my personal page, just Mario Briso. I'd love to answer as many questions. I do get a lot, so it may take a little bit to get back to you, but I definitely try and stay on top of it. And, this information, I know it causes a lot of questions. And, Chris even had a really good video recently about the New World Order freakout syndrome. And I know a lot of people kind of go through that. So you want to know about everything. So I want to help you and give you as much time. But understand, I get a lot of questions. So get back to you as soon as possible. And obviously on YouTube, YouTube/TheVigilantChristian, .com/TheVigilantChristian, and on Twitter, TheVigilantChrist. So that's how they can contact me, or Hotmail, TheVigilantChristian@Hotmail.com.
Great. And it's The Vigilant, so
that's
you
right.
Put a T-H-E before it?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Wow. What a great interview, Mario.
Awesome.
And it's really a pleasure to finally get a chance to chat with you, and hope we do it again sometime soon.
Same here, man. For sure.
Thanks for listening to Nowhere to Run. You can download all of the archives to this show and others I've done for free at nowheretorunradio.com. Your prayers and donations are needed and appreciated. You can partner with me to reach many more people with discipleship, apologetics, and the gospel. Go to Nowhere to Run Radio to help support this ministry. Thanks for your time.